This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello and welcome to the Blues Focus podcast with me, your host, John Graham. Delighted to say I've got my co-host Sam with me today. Sam, how are you?
Oh, very well. Thanks, John. Yourself?
Yeah, Groundhog Day. How many times are we going to do this? But you know, I'm all right. I think having a night to sleep on, you know, following the result yesterday. I don't know, just trying to be positive. It was difficult, but... I was saying earlier, we could have gone down yesterday, and I didn't really appreciate that because I just didn't think we were gonna lose the game. But you know, we live to fight another day. Before I kick into it, obviously anybody that's watching or listening, thank you very much for taking the time to do that. I know it's tough times at the moment, but please, you obviously share, make comments, all your feedback's massively welcome. We're all in this together, so yeah. Air your grievances, give us your positive vibes, and all of the above. But I think let's sort of get involved now. So I just want to probably start off with, as we sort of tend to do, what are your thoughts when the team sheet was announced at 2 o'clock yesterday?
Generally, I'd say on the whole, what I expected. It's looking like Rowett has found a nucleus of a squad that he is going to use for the remainder of the games. It looks as though that Coventry game was kind of his defining moment of, okay, these are the core group and we might just have a couple of positions that we can alter to suit the game. I was a little bit surprised with the inclusion of Bakuna. I don't think when he came on against Rotherham, he really shone himself in much light. So that was a little bit of a strange one for me. I guess his thought behind it was just to try and find an extra player that could split the defence with a pass, break up the sort of the nasty way that Huddersfield play. But other than Bakuna, that I wasn't really surprised by the selection at all.
Yeah, and I think the look, I'm not going to criticise Rowett because I've been on record many times saying I like what he's about. I think he did a great job first time around and under difficult circumstances. I think he's done. Probably put in an okay, no more than that. But I think there is a theme. You're right. I think he has got a nucleus of players, but it certainly with the team he selected for Rotherham and a little bit against Huddersfield, it's sort of one eye on what they can do rather than focusing on what we're about and what we can do. Yeah. And I think when you're in that situation where you've got to go and win games against, let's be honest, two pretty poor teams, and I know our former way has been shocking all season, but nevertheless, Rowett's coming into this with a pretty sort of a clear head and a fresh pair of eyes. So you'd think that maybe try and pick a side that can do some damage going very much on the front foot rather than shoring it up. And obviously the selection of Burke against Rotherham was just... You can just see it, can't you? It's like, okay, we need some big lads to defend corners and long balls. Get him in, he's a big lad. And, you know, against a side that's been poor all season, to sort of switch your game plan around what they may do, I think it's a little bit disappointing. And I think the Bakuna selection, look, he had a fantastic game against Coventry. He was man of the match by a country mile for me. but that being said, we've got a lot of players in the squad that are good players on their day. And you're never going to get any sort of consistency if just relying on hopefully they're going to sort of turn it around and do a job on the day. Yeah. So yeah, I wasn't that bothered about the inclusion. I thought, okay, well, if he does have a good game, then we're in good shape. And obviously he's got a bit of form with Huddersfield and that sort of returning play, you never know. And given his mentality, he'd probably want to put one over on him. But I think it was probably, I like the fact that, you know, Bielik is sort of in that the centre of defence. I think that's pretty important. I think he's played great all season when he's played, but I think he's played great all season full stop. But in that position, it just means that we can, I think, start from a pretty solid base. Yeah. So I think going into it, I don't know, was I confident? I don't know, confident as I could be. I'd make loads of changes with the players he's got available. So I think all in all, it was probably not a million miles away from where it needed to be. But then obviously going into the game, I don't know whether you got a chance to watch it or you know, you listen to it. What were your thoughts on that sort of, because I think for Blues, when they start well, there tends to be quite a positive sort of vibe for the majority of the game. But what were your thoughts around that sort of first half performance?
Well, if you think of what we did against Rotherham, in terms of after 2 minutes putting a ball across the face of goal, and in another game somebody could hit the target there, Tyler Roberts didn't. But that was showing a bit of intent for the first 5-10 minutes in Rotherham. I don't really think we saw any of that yesterday. I feel as though, like you said, he set up to probably not lose and to try and win, but he didn't set up to try and win, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think he was looking at it to think, let's not concede early, because if we concede early, Huddersfield are just going to drop to a low block and we've got no chance because we haven't got enough players that at the minute have the confidence to break through teams. So yeah, we need to keep them in our sights. We need to try and find openings on the counter. And it worked a couple of times, maybe closer towards the end of the half. I think we were quite lucky to go in 1-0 up at half-time, because I don't think on the balance of play we deserve to be. I'm not saying Huddersfield were much better than us, but I don't think anybody could have argued at a 0-0 at half-time. So to be able to walk into the dressing room at half-time 1-0, absolute bonus. You know, and you think to yourself, this is a great opportunity now for us to, I'm not saying I want them to sit back and hold, but this is an opportunity now. We're in control. Huddersfield have to come at us, and that's going to create some space in behind that we thrive on, generally speaking. So I felt like we were in a perfect position then. And I don't know what happened at half-time. I don't know if they were told how great they were and they just decided to sort of sit back and wait for something to happen. I mean, to switch off so early in the second half and just let them have a free man on, you know, penalty spot, all he's got to do is hit the target. I don't know what must have happened. As I say, you'd think a bit of confidence going in at half-time. Normally you see sort of galvanises a team that's under pressure, and they just completely capitulated within 60 seconds. You know, yeah. And I've watched the goal back a couple of times, and in the past we've had players that we might not have liked, but we've had players that would put a shift in and would, if you know, if they give the ball away or if they're out of position, they will try their damnedest to get back. And I've watched it 3 or 4 times, and almost that entire midfield is nowhere to be seen when we concede that goal. All we've got is the 4 defenders. There's no holding midfielders sitting there. Sunjic is about 30 yards away from play. Paik gets there about 30 seconds later. It's really naive, you know, in the situation we're in, to leave so much space from the sort of goal that we've conceded quite a lot as well, you know, getting to the byline, pinging it across and somebody being available. It was really surprising, especially for a Rowett team to just fall apart so quickly. And then that was it. We just never really found a way to get back in. We had the Stansfield chance, which it was a great effort. And I think if he'd hit the target, the keeper saves it. So I don't think that was going to go in anyway. And that was about it. Nothing else really happened from our point of view. And if anything, I'd say we were lucky to draw the game because Huddersfield had some really, really good opportunities and they didn't take them.
Yeah, I think in that sort of first half, I agree with you. I don't understand this sort of, obviously, what was it, five managers in a season. So it's difficult to get an identity and we certainly haven't got that. You know, sometimes we look like we're a really aggressive, high-press side. Other sides, we're low block, bring it on, and we'll try and defend the box. And that can be that scenario happens actually within games, not as a that's our consistent sort of identity, and we're always going to do that. It can change from bloody, you know, in 10-minute segments. You know, sometimes we press, sometimes we don't, sometimes we sit deep, sometimes we get high up the pitch, and I just think from a player point of view, I think the most disappointing thing about yesterday was we're sleepwalking through games. There's just nobody to grab the game by the balls and say, right, I'm taking control of this game. And there's lots of players that are, I think they're putting a shift in, but I just don't think anybody's taking the responsibility of saying, I need to impose myself on this game. They're all sort of doing their jobs, but ultimately we have to grasp the nettle now. And in the last two games, there just hasn't been anybody, in my view, that has really done that. And I think, you know, I've said, for me, Bielik's been absolutely immense these last couple of months. You know, has to do jobs that maybe he doesn't want to do or hasn't done for a while at centre-half, but looks the best defender in the team. Yeah. And does look to link the play. But I think, again, you know, there's, you're right with Sunjic. You know, you can't help but love the guy, but if you're a headless chicken, you don't stay in your shape. And if you're a, you know, defensive midfielder, it's quite easy to stay in your shape because you just sit in front of the back two, centre half, don't move. Yeah. It's as simple as that. You don't need to go pressing, you know, their centre halves if they're coming out with a ball or go and try and get something off their fullbacks. You just sit in and let Pike do that, roam. And I think, you know, there's no pattern. There were so many times again where, you know, when Bielik's coming out of defence with the ball, and he's obviously, because he plays centre midfield, really assured, looking for options. And all of our team if he's coming with it, I'm just going to bomb on, I'm going to go. And that's the wide guys, dance fit. But there's nobody short. There's nobody where you can just... And this for me, I really like Pike as a player. I think he's got a lot. I think he's got something we haven't had for a long time. But he has, and I know he's new to the league, but he is the one guy that I think could control a game. But he just goes missing. It's so frustrating because he's got it. And I don't think we've got many other players that have. And there was a few times yesterday where we're breaking out. And rather than just take a square pass, he's bombing on. And then we start launching the ball and it's easy to defend. And then he's out of position. Then you've got Sunjic on his own. And that's the challenge we've got. I think the commitment's there and the will to win or try and win. I do think it's there. I just don't think they know what the bloody hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And that for me is a massive, massive problem.
Yeah. I was thinking about Pake as well. So having watched the game and the games probably for the last couple of months, in fairness, I completely agree. I think he's technically he's a really, really good footballer and he keeps hold of the ball well. My caveat to that is I think he keeps the ball for too long. So a lot of what we're trying to do at the moment is to get from back to front quite quickly. And if you can't go left, get it across to the right and then be quick again. The problem I've got with him at the minute in that style of football, he takes too many touches. So he'll get himself into a decent position and he'll wriggle around a bit and he'll chop back and he'll chop in, then he'll go left, then he'll go right. And then by that time, you know, a team like Huddersfield have got back into their shape and all of a sudden an option that was maybe available two touches ago, you know, an Anderson or a Miyoshi, somebody maybe out wide, is no longer available. And then we saw it a few times with the same two players that I've just mentioned, Anderson and Miyoshi, did the same thing. I mean, first half when I think was it Stansfield cut back in and squared it across to Anderson, who was on the edge of the box, and you're just thinking, shoot. And then he takes a couple of touches and then he passes it on to Miyoshi, and you're thinking, okay, shoot. Then he takes a couple of touches, and then before you know it, it's bobbling around in the box and it just falls into the keeper's arms. And you just think, if just a little bit of urgency, just, you know, have the confidence to make that pass first or second time, and you make an opportunity. But by just taking those extra one or two touches, and it is fine lines at this time of the season. It's those sort of fine lines that stop you from creating a clear cut opening to not. And look at how we scored the goal. Anderson takes a couple of touches, gets it past his man, puts a cross in, and Miyoshi hits it first time. Great finish. You know, other players would have missed that. But it just shows that just by acting on instinct and trying to be a little bit quicker, stops the defence from being able to respond to you. And we've got too many players that take too long. And Sunjic has, we all know he's got his limitations. We all know he's got an absolute engine, and that guy will run around from the first minute to the 91st minute. But you have to be quite clever with how you use him. You can't have him being further up the pitch making the passes, because he's not. That's not his strength. His strength is to shield the back four, or if you want one of your fullbacks to bomb on, just sit in that little pocket, and if we lose the ball, he's there to mop it up. The minute you start taking him further up the pitch, which I noticed a few times yesterday, because we were sort of desperate to get players further forward, you put him in a sort of a dangerous area for me then. And it just slows everything down, like I say, and you can't build any momentum. That Coventry game, for example, think of how fast, like Tyler Roberts had a brilliant game that day, because what he was doing was he was getting the ball, he was looking at his options, and within two touches he was passing it. And he was making some brilliant passes, and we were scoring goals, and we were breaking Coventry apart. And yeah, Coventry probably had their eyes on the FA Cup semi-final, but you've still got to create opportunities and take them, which we did. You know, so it's in there. The players are able to do it. It's just that confidence that they don't seem to have. And I've mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. It's every time it really matters. Every game that we've had that is a must-win, you know, the old cliche, we lose. That's why I'm a little bit worried about, which we'll go on to, but about next weekend, because we have to win. And every time we've had that situation, we can't do it. And the Coventry game was a bit of a free hit, really. I think most Blues fans wouldn't have sort of gone into it saying, yeah, we're going to win this. You know, some might have hoped for it, but I don't think many would have had the confidence to go, yeah, 100% we're winning. And the pressure's off then, isn't it? So they can relax and they can do things properly.
Yeah, I think with the only thing I would maybe push back a little bit on that is the Preston game and the Cov game. Both teams in very good form when we played them. And I think the way when Rowett's teams are effective, he makes really good teams look ordinary, because he just absolutely stifles them of anything. No room, good tempo, you know, just closing people down, inviting them on, but not really giving any space up. And, you know, when he's effective, he does make bloody good teams look ordinary. But I think on the flip side of that, when you're playing sides that are ordinary, that's just, it doesn't work, because, you know, inviting a Rotherham on or a Huddersfield on, it's not like they're going to be knocking it around the back and trying to get through the thirds. They're just going to shift it. And if you're not getting on the second ball, and yesterday we weren't really getting on the second ball, it's perfect for them, because they get high up the pitch really quickly. They're in quite dangerous areas. And then we're relying on us to stay in our shape and do the job. And I think for the lion's share of the first half, it was a bit of a non-event of a game. They had a few decent chances, you know, wouldn't say, you know, they could have got, I mean, maybe they could have nicked one, but any more than that, I think probably would have flattered them. And the same with us. But you're right, that real, and it wasn't direct football, but it was just the urgency of the break when we did get the goal. It was noticeably different. And looking at those real, the defining forward pass that's going to make a difference, rather than foot on, look square, look the other way. And you're right. And then you've lost all your momentum. And I think there are players, and maybe that's why you pick Bakuna, because Bakuna has got vision for that pass that nobody else can see. He's done it a few times this season. But I think now if I was going to sort of rank Bakuna for the season, it's been flattered to deceive now. I think his credit is gone. I'd be amazed if he plays on Saturday. I'd be absolutely amazed if he does after that. And again, I don't think it's because there's no malice in there. I think he's got a way of playing. He's always played the same way. And when it comes off, it looks amazing. And when it doesn't, it's not so good. Yeah. And when you are where we are, those decisions, as you say, those fine lines, he's a liability. He's a liability, and you invite pressure on. And I think that he will probably sit out, if not all the game, the majority of the game next week. Maybe before we move on to, I guess, the second half, and obviously you mentioned the early goal, just from a who did you think did okay first half for us? Who maybe not so good?
It's hard to say any, but like you just said, it was very much a non-event. I think it was 39 minutes on the clock, and I sat there and thought to myself, where's that gone? Like nothing stood out to me, but neither good nor bad. It was just a game of it was scrappy. Both teams were just sort of trying to get forward quickly, but not really succeeding. I mean, Bielik, like you said, Bielik's done well. He had a shaky spell in the middle, but you know, they all did. He did not suit the Rooney system, as did a lot of them. It's not just that, but he fell out of favour. He maybe threw his toys at the pram a little bit and ended up sort of sitting in the background a little bit because it didn't suit him to play that way. But either side of that, he has been one of our better players. So he does stand out for me most of the time. I'm concerned about Laird. And equally, I'm concerned about how Drama is nowhere near the squad at the minute as well. I don't see what's happened there, because I think after 35, 40 minutes, Laird looked as if he'd been on the pitch for 2 hours. And I know he does a lot of running backward and forward, but I think we mentioned it on the last pod after the Leicester game. When he does run, he's not sprinting. He's just putting a little bit more in if he's going forward, or he's trying to get back. But I mean, again, looking at their goal, second half, he looked like he was really struggling to get back into shape. And he only just about got back into the box by the time the ball hits the back of the net. And I'm just a little bit worried about that, because it's a bit unfair on Drama, I think. Maybe there's more to it. You know, maybe it's something to do with his contract running out at the end of the season, or, you know, maybe the club have made a decision on what they're going to do with him already and he's not happy, or maybe he's made a decision on his future and the club aren't happy. We won't know, and we probably will never know. But I think at the moment, I'm not saying it's all Laird's fault, but he stood out to me as a concern. And when I saw the three subs coming on and I saw Roberts coming on, I didn't quite know how it would work, but I just assumed Laird was coming off, because I watched him and he was absolutely blowing. That he's a concern for me at the minute. And yeah, he does a lot of the arm swinging and the getting the crowd going and all of that. And that's great a couple of times. It's lost its purpose after sort of the 10th, 11th, 12th time of doing it, because we'll get behind you if you keep putting effort in. But if you're just going to swing your arms around and you're absolutely knackered after 45 minutes, there's a problem there. And I do just think teams will see that and they'll highlight that as an area of weakness. I just don't understand it though, because I mean, he was brilliant first half of the season. I mean, a lot of them were good first half of the season, but I remember thinking that, you know, end of the season, he could be signing of the season for us just by his quality and his physicality, his pace, his attitude. He's always smiling. I thought, this guy, you know, this is exactly what we needed at this time. You know, after we've just lost a good servant in Max Collin, who was always a 7 out of 10, I was worried about how we were going to replace him. And I was really sort of uplifted when we got him in the first half a dozen games. My only thing is that it's just his fitness. Injuries, always got concerns that he's going to pull up, perhaps. Maybe he is carrying a knock and he's trying to prolong his career by not damaging himself further. But he was the one out of all of them that sort of concerned me the most in that game.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue he's got, I think he's magnified more than any other player, he's come with quite a big reputation.
Yeah,
it was a coup when we signed him. And you're right, he hit the ground running those first few games. You were like, wow, this guy can play. And then obviously he was out for a while, and Drama came in. Drama, I said on the last pod, I think he was exceptional for us. Really solid defender. And I just think with Laird, it's his final ball is so poor. How many times yesterday? There just doesn't seem to be any. It's just no logic to it. You've got time. Yeah. It's not even the amount of times when the cutback is on, he just tries to play like a square ball, like just in front of the keeper, where there's a defender on the near post. And you're like, in what world is that? Even if dink it to the back stick, do something different. Keep doing the same thing. You're going to get the same result. And I'm just super disappointed with him. I've absolutely got you right on it. And you know, now isn't the time to out players. But as I said, with somebody like him, you just expect more because he's got more.
Yeah.
And I think probably maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when we did a pod and one of the guys said, you know, who do you think is the guy? And I said, it's him. Mm. And the reason I said it's him, because I've seen it and he's capable of doing it. But And the worry is how many of the players that are in that squad now have experienced this?
Yeah.
Because they've all gone, haven't they, pretty much? You know, Mark Roberts is there and Sanderson might have experienced it a bit. But you look at all the other players in that squad, you know, there aren't the Deans and the Pedersons and the ones that have just sort of, you know, season in, season out, they sort of found a way to get out of it.
Yeah.
And I personally, this isn't, you know, being an aftertimer by any stretch, but I said to the boys when I was watching it yesterday, Drama has to play that last game.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to, because it's not like we've got, I don't think our identity is fullbacks bombing on. I don't think that's how we're playing.
No, not at all.
I think if you look at the way Rowett used to play, you know, first time around, the ball, you know, when the ball got to fullback, it was just Caddy smashing it down the line into the channel. And that's fine. If that's the plan, I'm good with that because everybody knows what they're doing. Whereas if you've got, and we know we're weak at centre half, we have been. I think Bielik's been a revelation, but Sanderson is, if we can stay up, he just needs a summer where he gets his head together for me.
Yeah, 100%.
But when Laird bombs on, it's that pocket behind.
Yeah.
And you're exposing players that are like, haven't been confident all season. So for me, I wouldn't mind seeing a solid four. And then in front, then do something different. Then, you know, Dembele's got to be in the argument. Miyoshi's got to be in the argument. I'm with you, Tyler Roberts. Who knew? But the one game was the player that we signed.
Yeah.
We need him back. Where's he been? I thought Anderson was okay yesterday.
Yeah.
So I just don't. I think for me, this sort of Buchanan, I've seen him have better games than he had yesterday. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't out him, but I don't think he was great. But we're not a bombing on fullback team. So if we're not that, play one that can defend.
Yeah.
And like maybe there's more to it with Drama, but.
I mean, there must be for him to not even be in the squad because maybe it's an injury, but normally, you know, somebody like that, they'd get mentioned in the pre or post game conferences. It's as if they've removed him from the squad and at all costs not mentioned him. You know, it's as if he's just been completely a bit like Longello. Nobody ever talks about Longello. Nobody ever sort of acknowledges him. He's just there, isn't he? He's just somewhere, probably at West Hills with the 21s. You know, he's just a little bit like that. It's just a shame because, like you said, I really like Drama and I felt sorry for him at the start of the season because of watching how good Laird was initially. He got his injury and Drama came in. And I thought to myself, you know what? So unlucky that he's playing really well. He's probably going to lose his spot in the team because Laird is that good. And that even when Laird's not been playing well, it seems as though that is still the approach. The approach is if Laird's fit, he's playing right back and that's the end of it. We did that little trial when Buchanan was out injured and Laird had to be pulled over to the left. So Drama played on the right. And I'm never a fan of that. Maybe it's just old age, but I don't like left-footed centre-backs being on the right and vice versa. I think if you're a left-back, you need to have a left foot. And if there isn't a fit left-footed defender in the first team, you need to find somebody in the 21s that can do it, because it just knocks the whole balance. But yeah, it's a funny one. And that was kind of what I was going to say about Laird as well, or just, you know, teams I've passed. You look at the seasons we've had previously when we've had one left-back, we've had one right-back, you know, we've had Pedersen and Colin. We've had to just stick with them because we've got no options. We have an option. We have got a perfectly good, capable option to play there instead. And if Laird isn't able to do 90 minutes, or he's a little bit worried about injury, take him out. You know, I'd much rather he sits out, gets himself fully fit in the summer and has a blinding season next season, rather than just carrying him a little bit. And I think I said that in the last pod as well. We can't afford to carry players like we were with Awu. You know, we were carrying him every game. We've done it with too many players this season. And at the moment, I'm a little bit worried that we're doing it with him. With all that being said, we have defended better. Is that because we're actually doing the defending, or is it because the teams we've played against aren't as good going forward because they have had chances? But yeah, it is a concern, but I can't see him making a change now. I don't think he's going to drop anybody really for the last game. I think he's going to go with tried and tested. It might be a Tyler Roberts for Bakuna. He might go back to that team that started the game against Coventry. I don't know. My final thing on the game with Huddersfield, and it's really easy to just say, we beat them 4-1 at home, why didn't we pick the same team? There's an argument to be had that I would have picked Dembele. It's a difficult one because he hasn't earned the right to play. But if you're going into that game knowing that you need to win, just imagine how that Huddersfield defence feels if the guy who absolutely terrorised them back in October is on the pitch. He's not the same player, I know that, but they're not going to know that. They're not going to have necessarily seen how bad he's been or that he's not been playing. They're going to look at that and think, oh, maybe he's been unfit, maybe he's been injured, who knows. I just think if you bring him on, even if he doesn't play well, they did it, didn't they, when he came on? They doubled up on him straight away. Yeah. So that means somebody's got some space somewhere. And by playing Bakuna in there, or by playing Anderson out there and Bakuna in the 10, they didn't need to do that. They didn't really have to think about it too much. And yeah, as I say, he hasn't earned the right to play. And I get that some people might have frowned on the fact that he's just been thrown in because of what he did before. But I would have just taken a gamble on it, because he is somebody that can create something out of nothing. And he's done it a handful of times, albeit not recently. But who knows? You know, he might have started and been abysmal. We'll never know. But I just think it was an opportunity there to try and just give him something to think about. And I don't think we did that.
No, you're absolutely right. When he did come on, they doubled up on him, and we did look. They looked like we had more room. Yeah. And I think 10 minutes when he came on, there was a notable change for me, like from us being on the front foot.
Yeah. Well, you could argue it created him being out there created that opening for, I think, was it Miyoshi to then slide Stansfield through. You know, there's space from somewhere, because somebody from the middle of the pitch for Huddersfield has had to come out, or somebody that's been further up the pitch has had to drop back to be that extra man to support. But as I say, we'll never know. We'll never know if it would have had the impact that we'd like it to. But I just think if they were going to make a change, well, they had to because Burke's injured, then, you know, that possibly would have been the person I'd have looked at, just for the fact that he could have caused them more damage. But never mind.
Yeah, and I mean, as you said, obviously the equaliser went in, what was it, 90 seconds. And you're like, anybody that's played football at any sort of a level, given the context of the game, well, you're right, I'd agree with you. 1-0 flattered us at halftime. I don't think we deserve to be going in behind. I think, you know, it was a draw and regroup and try and do something different. But to have that bonus, and look, if it was 1-0, they're down. They're down and they're at home. Yeah. So I'm yet to have watched a game, played in a game, managed a game where the manager's not absolutely decorating them and saying, 10, this 10, you own it. You've got to get back in the game. And we just, like, again, it's this. My worry is, I think there's players out there that just don't get it. They don't get where we're at.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's sleepwalking into a scenario where, you know, 85 minutes on the clock against Norwich and it's 1-1. That is not the time to wake up and smell the coffee. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I just, and I know again, there are people in that side that are a little bit, there's just not enough urgency for me. And maybe it's demeanor and not everybody's the same, but I'd put Laird in that 100%. I'd probably put Buchanan in it a little bit.
Yeah.
Pike, as I said, it's probably a bit harsh because he's new to the league. And
yeah,
it's the same. I mean, you look at those three players. Why is that disappointing? Because we all know how bloody good they are.
Yeah.
You know, if with a Sunny, it's a shrug of the shoulders. And it's like, he's just a workhorse. If we're putting all of our hopes, we're putting our hopes and dreams on Sunyich. We all need to have a bloody strong bloody look at each other, because he's never going to be able to do that. He's never done it. But what he does do is, when he is on form, he's a valuable member of the team just because of the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
So do you think there was an argument for maybe a terrible start to the second half? You know, 55 minutes, 60 minutes in to make a change. Then, in the context of, we weren't great first half, sort of got away with it, we've conceded. There's, you know, would you have made changes at that point, or?
Yeah, so I think, if memory serves me right, was it about the hour mark where he swapped Dembele for Bakuna? I think it might have been. It was roughly about that time. But what I was saying, while sort of watching it and sort of listening to it as it was happening, we were having a lot of, I mentioned it before, we were taking too much time on the edge of the box and things like that. And again, you can talk about recent form and the impact that certain players have had on games. But Jordan James this season has scored goals from nothing, edge of the box, you know, 20 yards out, he finds the bottom corner. He's done it three or four times. And most of the time they've been important goals. They've been goals that have got us back into games or goals that have won us games. We were stuck in a situation where a lot of what we were doing was on the edge of the box. And when Dembele came on, like I said, I had a feeling that they were going to have to double up on him because of how much damage he caused them. And he really did absolutely terrorise them in that first game. That I think is one of the most dominant performances from one player I've seen. So they were going to have to double up on him. Like I keep saying, that creates a space somewhere. And I think for me, you bring a Jordan James on into that scenario, all he needs is three or four yards space, and he'll hit a shot. And maybe that would have been the thing that sort of took us to 2-1. You know, maybe if Stansfield gets a bit of luck and that one goes in, then you've got more room to sort of push on. But it would have been tough to change too many players, because like we've said, we weren't great, but we weren't terrible at the same time, and Huddersfield weren't really causing us any problems until they scored, obviously. But yeah, that would have possibly been the only thing I'd have done differently. It's also really easy to look at Duke being on the bench and think, well, you know, we need to change the game, we need to score, get him on. That guy, he's not fit enough. We all know that. You know, we saw the pictures on social media from the other day, you know, tape from shin to thigh, you know, he's just completely covered in the stuff. And I just think he was there as a, if we're losing with 10, 15 minutes to go, or we're not winning, bring him on and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And then when you start looking at the other players on the bench, I don't really know what else you can do to change it. That's the problem that we've had all season. There's no game changes in there. Yeah, you could bring George Hall on, but you know, he's suffered with injuries, and the odd few moments that he has played this season, he's looked way off the pace, which isn't his fault because he's missed the majority of the season. It is what it is. But you know, I can't think who else is even on the bench. Gary Gardner, again, you might bring him on if you're 2-1 up and you just need somebody in the middle that's just going to clatter somebody to stop them conceding. You know, that's maybe a time for him. And then Mark Roberts, I kind of understand the idea behind that. You know, get a few set pieces, get into the box. Pritchard, I'm still undecided on. I don't know if it's a fitness thing. I don't know if it's the fact that he came in for Mowbray and then a couple of weeks later, Mowbray's not there anymore and his world's turned upside down. I don't know, but I sort of described him the other day as the Huddersfield Pritchard, the one that was signed for a lot of money and just never delivered. The Sunderland Pritchard is in there somewhere, but we haven't seen it yet. Yeah. So I just think, other than maybe, like I say, Dembele, I think was the right decision for Bakuna, because Bakuna wasn't having the impact Dembele could have done. But it would have been Jordan James for me, just because of the fact he gets goals. I would have just wanted to get anybody on the pitch that has shown this season they can score. And we don't have many of those, really. You're talking maybe what, five players have contributed with the lion's share of the goals. Yeah. Get them on the pitch because we need to score.
I think it's no secret I'm not a Mark Roberts fan, far from it, but that game suited him because there wasn't a lot of pace up top. They were lumping it. As a nuts and bolts, head it, kick it, he's just about okay.
Yeah.
So I said before the summer, this is one of the, I absolutely wouldn't be playing him next week, but anyway, we'll come on to that. But having that sort of bringing Bielik into centre mid and sort of having Roberts to go in that sort of centre half with Sanderson, I actually quite liked it. And I think he could have done it earlier. I think he was like 70 odd minutes, 77 minutes when that change was made.
Yeah.
And again, you then, I don't know, when there's less than 15 minutes of the game left, I think it's just that it's quite late. And I know it only takes a second to score a goal, but if you can do that with 25 minutes to go, it just gives you that time for players to get a bit of a foothold in the game. So I didn't mind that sub. I mean, I agree with you on Dembele. It's going to come, you know, there's going to come a point very, very quickly where we've got to win our last game. So if you look at the last two games that we've played, I know they're both away, but I would probably caveat that with they're two very, very poor teams. And they are. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying we're not, but they are poor teams.
Slightly worse than us, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, okay, well, we've got to be braver. And I think the last two games have been that opportunity to do exactly that. And for whatever reason, whether it's just Gary's default into a shape and how you play and be hard to beat. And, you know, we haven't been beaten, have we? But
yeah,
we needed wins. And I think there are sides down the bottom that have got brave.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing mental results. Results that you just like. And I heard it on the radio, I'm saying, oh, you know, typical Blues, everybody else is winning. Well, they're winning because they understand the shit they're in.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Do you know what I think's changed this season? It started off as being how ironic, but when you think about it, so think of all the jeopardy that we've had off the pitch for the last 12, 13 years with the whole, well, we don't need to go into all of that, but off the pitch trouble that's been just always there, always present. It's, you know, in any way, shape or form, it's caused us issues. I look now at the players that played in the last decade that have been close to it. And if they do go down, those teams of the past, we are in serious, serious shit. And I think they must have looked at that in those given situations and thought, I tell you what, we're under contract here. If we go down, this club could fold. We're out of work, or, you know, we're going to start having, you know, what's happening with Reading. You know, we're not going to get paid, you know, points deductions, this blah, blah, blah. It's gone full circle now. Off the field it's certainly as good as it's ever been in my lifetime. And I'm sure a lot of people say the same. The off the field stuff is, I couldn't have hoped for any more. You know, they're giving absolutely everything. They've built new training grounds. They've, you know, created and grown new training pitches. You know, they're making it as easy as possible for these players. And I wonder if they're just not taking it for granted. I wonder if they're looking at it and thinking subconsciously, oh, well, if we do go down, we probably will be okay and this board will support us and we'll get back up again. So it's not the end of the world, rather than thinking, oh my God, if we go down, we're in a world of trouble. They're going, ah, it's not the end of the world, is it? You know, and maybe that's the reason that you should look at Sheffield Wednesday. And, you know, they're in a similar situation to where we were 12 months ago with an owner that doesn't care. They're, you know, hemorrhaging money left, right and centre. He's arguing with the fan base, you know, and they've looked at it and gone, we could be in a world of trouble if we get relegated down to League One. So they've rolled up their sleeves, you know, and they've made it work and they're pretty much safe. You know, for them to have a worse result than three other teams below them is unlikely, I would say, going into the weekend. I just think maybe, like I say, we've almost given the players a bit too much this season and a little bit too much comfort knowing that it'll all be okay. And even in that open house, I know Tom Wagner really didn't want to say, that it will be okay and the plans aren't going to change if we go down. But he had to because he kept getting asked questions about it. I know he didn't want to say that. You could tell that he didn't want to say it because there's a part of him that knows if the players latch onto that, no problem. There's no stress anymore. They can just wait for it to happen and it'll be fine.
I think it's a really good point because, you know, I'll put my hands up and say, and I've said it today to people, you know, if we're in this predicament under the old ownership, we're in a horrible place because that's administration. Yeah. It could be another relegation. You know,
you don't come back up from that, do you?
No, you don't. But it's forever. You know, you look in 10 lost years, and I know that everyone's saying the last 10 have been pretty poor, but we've been in the championship. There've been a few okay seasons, but you know, under the old
regime, Portsmouth. how long led them down there?
Exactly, I mean, 100%. You know, I mean, you look at all the you know the Derby fans yesterday, and you think. You know, they're a big club, Derby. And so, most people are the same. Most people are similar. So it's naive to think that footballers aren't. And whether it's about their future or whatever, I just think with this new ownership in, there is this, oh, it's okay, because even if we do go down, we'll come back up again. And we're not going to fold. And I'm guilty of thinking that.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you, I am guilty of thinking that. It's one of those, of course, I don't want us to go down. That's the last thing I want. But I'm not sort of, there's part of me that is excited for that because I've been there before, you haven't. You know, exactly the same. New owners, when Brady and the Golds came in, new manager in Barry Fry, all that stuff. And you're like, they were good times.
Yeah,
and if you've got an ownership that's going to invest, and we know all the players are going to be out of contract next season, so it is a literally blank canvas. They can go out and get a good manager. They can go out and build a side over the summer. So all that weirdly is quite exciting. Don't get me wrong; it isn't my preferred route. Far from it. But I think you're right. I think there is that. It's not absolute devastation, whereas it would have been. I mean, I don't even know what it would have looked like if we'd have gone down under the old lot. I mean,
I think these owners are so ambitious that the only thing that will change is it will just take them a couple of years longer to do what they're hoping to achieve. So instead of being in the Premier League by 2027, let's say, as just a random number on it, they might look at this now and think, okay, you know, we're in League One. It's no guarantee that you're going to come up straight away. But if we can put a squad together on a couple of year contracts that within 2 years gets us back up, then maybe we need to be looking at 2029 for the Premier League. That's our new aim. It's not going to change anything else. He said as much, hasn't he? The stadium's still going to get built. All of the infrastructure around is still going to get built. You know, this whole sports quarter is still going to get built. You know, it's all in place. It's ready to go. It's just now a waiting game. That's not going to change. They're not going to stop that because we're now in League One. You know, they're just going to start again. And you hear it in the stands. You see it on social media as well. People are a bit like what you just said, that there's almost an air of, I would quite like us to go down because not only will all of the non-contract players go, but it's actually going to encourage maybe some of the ones that we would struggle to get rid of to actually leave as well, because then they probably see themselves as too good for League One. And I think we do just need a total reset. And if I had to, if somebody put a gun to my head and said, you can only keep three of these players, I'd be easy. I'd be living because I'd find it easy to only keep three of them.
Yeah.
Come on, I can't make a case for many of them to say, whichever league we're in, I'd be happy for them to stay. There's really not many. And I think that's what I mean. It's a split fan base, but either way, we're still going to be okay. And that I think that's just filtered into the players a little bit, which is probably why some of them have reacted badly to being told that they're not fit to wear the shirt yesterday.
Yeah,
because they probably think, why are they so bothered? Because, you know, it's all going to be all right.
Yeah, and I think with, obviously, Stansfield's copped a little bit today and he's come out and apologised. And I get it. I get the whole, the angst from the fans. I'm one of them, you know, shouting myself hoarse yesterday. A lot of choice words being said about certain players that I wouldn't certainly air on a pod, but because it's very emotional, it's in the moment, and you know, your head goes. And
yeah,
Stansfield, he's again, he's human. But yeah. I mean, Christ Almighty, where would we be without his goals?
Exactly. And, yeah.
You know, he's obviously taking it personally, and he is feeling it because he's ambitious. I think he's really enjoyed his time at the club, and you know, if we do stay up, then we should be signing players like that.
Yeah,
we should be. You know, if you've got that level of ambition where he's a genuine 20 goals a season striker in the Championship from next season, in my view, he ain't far off that now.
Yeah.
When was the last time we had that? You know, since I've been going, which is a very, very, very long time, you almost on one hand, you can count 20 goal a season strikers that we've had. But then you look at other clubs, you know, the people we don't want to mention down the road, the amount of strikers they've had over the years that have just banged in tons of goals. Wolves have always had a good striker. Albion have always had a good striker. We've just never had that player. And, you know, I actually like the fact that he's, you know, he's got annoyed and he's had a bit back because he's feeling it. He's hurting. Yeah. You know,
somebody mentioned it. I think I saw it on social media. Made what was, I felt, quite a valid point, and it shows a little bit of character. And I don't know what the right or wrong thing to do in this scenario is, but they pointed out that Stansfield showed a reaction because he cares, and he was upset that the fans were upset with the players. And you want that. You want them to hear that and think, bloody hell, I don't like this. You know, we need to sort it out. And like you say, he's reacted, what is he, 20, 21? He's still a young lad. He's relatively new. He's not played that much first-team football. And as much as we would love to, it's impossible to boo the team, but also sort of show support to one of them. Because if you could do that, we would do. Because we did it against Cardiff. I don't make a habit of this because I do like to think I support the team, but I was happy to stay behind and wait for the players to come over at the end of the game to tell them what I thought about them after that Cardiff game. And I wouldn't normally do that. But what was good is that when Stansfield came over, that completely stopped and the claps started again. So it's, you know, there's ways of doing it. And I understand why he was frustrated. My argument behind it, though, is that if you do want to succeed and you want to be a Premier League striker, you need to thicken up a little bit. You know, you need to have a thicker skin. You need to be prepared to accept criticism when things aren't going well. For the team, it's not an individual game. It's a team game. So if it's not going well, be prepared for criticism, because it only gets worse the higher up the pyramid you get. But I'm exactly the same as you. I had my doubts a month or two ago because he just wasn't getting the service and he was snatching at chances a little bit. But like you said, if you put him through one-on-one, there's not many times this season that I've thought he's going to miss. And we haven't had that for a long time. You know, you've got somebody like Scott Hogan. When he goes through one-on-one, he's going to miss.
Yeah.
So it's, you sort of, you don't get excited when Stansfield gets through, you are excited. So I would, if it doesn't cost your entire budget and you stay in the Championship and you can afford to get him and he wants to stay 100% and you try and find a way to get the best out of him. In terms of the rest of them though, I could say I could count on my two thumbs who I'd want to keep. So yeah.
No, and you know, Ruddy's getting a bit, you know, he's not getting any younger. Sanderson, I think, has been poor.
Yeah.
We've talked about the fullbacks. I think there's an element of he's still really raw at the moment. And I think I'm with you. Based on yesterday, it's like, well, there's not a lot there that if you can't get up for that game, and it's not, maybe that's wrong. It's not that they weren't up for it. But as I said, nobody's taking it by the balls. Yeah. How many times? You know, you look at and I'm not talking about Man City. There are sides in our league that we've played against where they've got a player that's like, right, I'm getting on the front foot and I'm doing it. I mean, what's the lad's name who the Villa supporter plays for Cov, who came, he's been injured. Okay. He's a guy that just makes things happen.
Yeah.
He just does. He did it in the semi-final. He only came on for 10 minutes against us, but he was everywhere. Yeah. And we nullified him, but we've got to find somebody. You know, I'm not talking about Saturday, but it's that identity. And that's what I'm saying. If you sign Stansfield, brilliant. You know what you're going to get there. And then in the middle of the park, what player do we want? What team are we going to be?
Yeah.
And we need to know that, and the players need to know that, because you can then. Yeah. And the reason Rout was successful, well, relative to recent years, and Monk was relatively successful relative to recent years, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
The players knew what they were doing. And it's like, I've said it so many times, it's not rocket science, but...
Yeah. And they also built teams with grafters as well. And like you say, it's not that the players aren't trying. You know, they've got their... Every player's got their own set of qualities. I get that. And I don't think that it's that they're not trying or that they've just given up. I don't genuinely, hand on heart, think that. I think it's just that we've got a team of players that don't really have much bottle. I think it was the Coventry game when, you know, yeah, brilliant. We were playing really well and we were winning. And there was an incident where I think Stansfield was trying to win a corner. It went out for a goal kick and I think he jumped and the Coventry player literally shoved him and he went flying over the hoardings. And you're crying out, in my eyes, you're crying out for three or four of your teammates to go running and screaming over at that player. And nobody did. Nobody said anything. You know, your striker who's scoring your goals, if we stay up, a large portion of that is because of what he's come in and done. And he's getting launched over the over the advertising boards and nobody's there defending him. And I don't think it's because they don't support him. I don't think that. It's just that we've got nobody with a bit of oomph about them. We've got nobody that's willing to actually fight for their teammates in a sense of being physical, as in showing that they're there for them. I'm sure they all support each other in the dressing room and they all high-five each other and, you know, do secret handshakes and all that. I'm sure they're brilliant, but just on the pitch, you need to see a bit more character and a bit more fight. And I think that if there is an overriding reason as to why we end up going down, if we do, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a decent segue to have a think now about, it'll all be done and dusted this time next week. So just looking ahead to the game against Norwich on Saturday. Let's do it two ways. So what team do you think he's going to pick and what team would you pick? I think he's probably... I don't know. My head's gone still. Because it's part of me that's like, you've got to go for it. You have to go for it. But again, we know what he can do by shutting up shop for 45 minutes, protect something, try and nick something, keep it all square, and then go. I don't know. What would you think? What do you reckon he will do? And then what would you do?
So I think he's going to get the team as close to, if not mirror image, of the starting 11 against Coventry. I think that's the back four is sort of speaking for itself, isn't it, at the minute? You know, Ruddy's going to play in goal. We all know that. It will be the same back four that it's been, like I said, in the last three. I think it's at least the last three, maybe four games that Rowett's picked the same back four, and I think that will remain the same. And you couldn't really make an argument, I don't think, for anybody else to come in at the moment. Maybe Roberts, if you're really desperate, but I still don't think he's enough to get in ahead of what's there. And then what does that leave us? That leaves us Pake in the middle with Sunjic, Miyoshi, Tyler Roberts, Anderson and Stansfield, I think, was the team against Coventry, wasn't it? So I can see that being the team that he'll pick. Tyler Roberts is a funny one. I noticed it early on in the season that when he starts, he gets better. When you start bringing him on as a sub, he gets worse. I think you almost have to persist with him, which is really difficult because for somebody that's been out injured for so much of his sort of more recent history of career, it's hard to give somebody like that a run of games. But he showed against Coventry that he has the ability to impact a game. He has the ability, even against a team fighting for the playoffs with arguably better players on the pitch than what we've got, he has the ability to find a way. You know, he played Anderson in the first goal came from the back of that. He a brilliant ball through for Stansfield. You know, Stansfield does the rest. I think he was possibly man of the match for me that day, alongside maybe Anderson. That was possibly more of a surprise, though, because I wasn't expecting him to be that good because of how awful he was when he came on against Cardiff. So I think it was a bit of a surprise element with that. But I think he probably is going to do that. If it was up to me, my concern with Norwich is that they've got a lot of quality in midfield. They did it yesterday. That guy who scored from about 30 yards out, it's not the first time he's done it. I think he did it against us early on in the season, where I think he just swept a volley in from a stupid angle that you wouldn't expect. And, you know, it catches you out. And I think we need to be a little bit mindful of that. And I think if you've only got Sunjic in our midfield that can potentially stop that, I don't think that's enough. The biggest problem is that we don't know what team they're going to pick, because mathematically they're not in the playoffs, but it would take, I think, was it Nottingham Forest and Swansea that had that mad goal, 8-9 goal swing a few years ago, you know, so it can happen. I think they're 9 points worse off, or sorry, nine goals better off than Hull. So it's highly, highly unlikely, but it is still possible that Hull and West Brom could take those last two playoff spots. So it just makes me a little bit cautious that Norwich are still going to play a relatively strong team. It's just how confident they are that maybe they're just going to turn up, and if they do lose, only lose by one. Maybe they're going to try and be a bit more defensive than they would normally be. So all I'm doing is basing it on what I think would be their strongest team. And with that comes that, I think, is it Sara, I think his name is?
Yeah.
Who can just score from nothing. We need to eliminate that. So for me, I can't believe I'm having to say this again, because, again, this highlights the issue we've had all season. I could make a case for just for this game, you know, to nullify that Sara, put Roberts in the back and put Bielik next to Sunjic, just so that we've got a bit more solidity in front of that goal, because he only needs a sniff and he'll shoot and he'll probably score. And we can't afford to have that, because we've not had many games where we've scored more than one or two goals. So we can't rely on scoring more than them. We need to limit what they do and try and get one or two goals ourselves.
Yeah,
so that would be my only change, I think. I can't see what else we would do.
God.
It's awful, isn't it? We're having to... You'd even say, what about Duke? This is what I mean. I think I said this in the last pod, that this is our problem, is that at the start of the season, we would have been happy to not see some of these players again. Not so much Duke because of a sentimental value, because everybody loves Duke. I'm not saying I'd want to cart him off, but if somebody said, oh, we've sold him for 500 grand at the start of the season, I don't think there's going to be too many upset Blues fans, because you just think he's done his best. He's not really a goal scorer anymore. Fair enough. Same with Roberts. I could have paid somebody to get rid of Roberts at the start of the season and I'd have been happy with that. And yet here we are in the last game of the season and we're starting to think about these players being the ones that save us. And it's just, how can we have signed all these players and still be relying on them? That's the big problem.
I think the worry is when Roberts came, when he made those changes 15 minutes ago yesterday, I think we probably were the better team. I think we created more. And I think pushing Bielik into centre mid, it made a massive difference. Mm-hmm. It did give us presence. It gave us a bit more. I don't know. He just comes with an air of authority, doesn't he? He just controls things. So I think it would be hugely tempting for Howard to do it. I have to say, I wouldn't do it. I'd absolutely never in a million years would I be doing it. I just can't bring myself to say it. I mean, I'm with you. I think you've got to... Those sort of two in front of a Bielik and a Sanderson are going to be really important. Obviously, Pike, up for me, he plays... Sunjic, yesterday again was a worry. He's got all the enthusiasm, but it just doesn't hold a shape. Does JJ come in? Maybe. But I have to say, I've got a horrible feeling that Roberts is going to play centre half, and there will. I hope he bloody man of the match. Three assists from throw-ins.
Awesome winner.
I'm hoping that is the case. But I said it weeks ago. You play an Awu, you play a Roberts, and I'm telling you, it will bite you in the arse. And Norwich, you know, they're no mugs. They're where they are for a reason.
Yeah.
And I just think that would be signing your own death warrant.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, if it's 0-0 with half an hour to go and we've got to chase the game down, look, fine, but I think as an answer from the outset, absolutely not for me. But then
I think if we were inundated with options, I can't put my finger on which game it was when because I think Awu was still in the team against Preston, wasn't he? I think,
yeah.
And I think Bielik came back and played in the middle. And the one thing I noticed that was made a huge difference to the way we played in that game was that Bielik won almost every second ball. We might not win the first one. We haven't got a strong, you know, a dominant in the air team anymore. We've sort of managed to get rid of those players throughout the season, i.e. Kevin Long, who would absolutely save our bacon right now. We've lost the ability when the ball gets played up in the air to win those headers. So what's really, really important is that we're there to try and win the second one. And I noticed in that Preston game that Bielik did that a lot. And that's, if you had two Bieliks, brilliant, because you could play one of them at centre-back and one of them in front of him.
Yeah.
We don't have that. So it is just a case of then, the way I think that it's, we're going to, and I guess it's a contradiction because I'm thinking of a way that we can stop Norwich rather than thinking of a way that we can beat them. And I think that's been the problem, isn't it? Because we've been so poor in a lot of these games, we're having to try and think about how we can stop them scoring and then just hopefully we've got enough in the tank to score one past them. So it is a bit of a contradiction, I'm aware of that, but it's because it's just so difficult. There isn't like a straightforward 11 that you can pick, is there? There isn't a solution where every side of the pitch or every area of the pitch is completely covered. There's going to be a weakness somewhere.
I mean, I think if you're putting a Bielik in the centre mid, I'd drop Buchanan into centre half. And I know you're in then into playing a layered left back and drama right back. But for me, I'd even entertain, and this is, you know, we think I'm starting to get some delusional or what. I'd even look at an Awu in front.
Get him out of the danger zone.
Just get him to sit in front of the back two, have Pike doing what he's doing, and just have him as that.
It's not a bad show.
Because he won't go anywhere. Just stand there, presence, break it down, shovel it 5 yards, don't do anything else.
Yeah.
I think you get that discipline because he's a centre-half.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put him anywhere near you at like one-on-one last man centre-half. I would absolutely not. But when you're that shield, you're a shield because you've got something behind you. And I think that if he tries to do something cute, it's not that bad if he's doing it where you've still got, you know, that sort of, you know, you're not in that situation where someone's going to be bearing down one-on-one. So I could see that. I don't know whether he'd do it, but I could see it. But then for me, it's as we said before, if we're going to say fullback stick into your shape, you know, can we have a... You know, with Dembele coming to the picture, I think Rabat likes Anderson.
Yeah, I do.
I just don't think Dembele is going to... Again, but you're going back to the point of, do we go absolutely balls out your mum's handbag and say, right, Miyoshi, Dembele, Sandsfield, and you just go full tilt and just know you've got a pretty solid four, a solid two in front of the four, and the rest of the players, you just say, right, just crack on and do it. Just go and do it.
I'll be honest at this point, my knowledge of the Norwich defence is minimal, but I seem to remember at the start of the season, they went through a phase of signing a lot of the sort of, if you're putting it politely, experienced defenders. I think, have they brought like a Shane Duffy in and those sorts of players that are probably getting towards the end of their career, but they've achieved a lot and they've been successful for the relative clubs and whatnot. What comes with that though is a lack of pace, a lack of mobility, and like you say, maybe that could be an opportunity for a Dembele, you know, players like Miyoshi, maybe see if you can get Paik a bit further up the pitch, or if Roberts has another good game, there's opportunities there with Stansfield in behind that you could run them ragged. I think, as I say, I'm not sure, and I think again I'd have to look at the stats properly to see, but I'm sure they've also had a lot of games where they've conceded a lot and scored a lot, so that tells me that they haven't got the strongest of defenses. But that's certainly something to consider. I think with Anderson, I think Rowett's mentioned it quite a few times, hasn't he, where we seem to have either players that are technically very good or we've got players who are solid. We don't have anybody that's very good at doing both. I think what you get with Anderson, you do get a little bit of both. It's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, I think, that he's half decent, you know, with the ball going forward. His final decisions are sometimes a bit iffy, but he did well yesterday. He did well against Coventry. So he's got the ability. And again, in the Coventry game, he had a moment or two where I think he gave the ball away. in the left wing position. He tracked all the way back to almost being a right back, won the ball back, and then got fouled. You know, and it's those sorts of things that if you were to pick a Dembele, a Bakuna, even a Jordan James, that players that have played in that same role, I don't think you get that same desire to get back and correct your mistake. Maybe it's just physical limitations with those players. It might just be that they just can't do it, so there's no point trying. At least with him, he showed a little bit of physicality, and I think that's possibly why Rowett is sticking with him, because he's so desperate for those types of players, and we don't have many of them.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, where was he at the start of the season? He was a trialist. He was out of contract. He didn't have a club. Yeah. And you know, we go back to the point of what does it mean to you?
Yeah.
It means everything to him.
Yeah.
Because he's playing for another contract. And yeah. I said, watching the game yesterday, if we stay up, I'd bloody give him one. I'd give him another year because he showed. I know he's been iffy, but I just, for me, he feels like he's got the right mentality for it.
Yeah.
Feels like a bit of a Blues player from years back, sides that I watched many years ago. Just, you know, it's no nonsense. He's a lump, but he'll give you everything he's got, because he ain't going to win the Ballon d'Or, but you know, we're into that. Mindful yeah. that, I mean, the thing is, Sam, we can probably talk about this until the game starts. So,
be in the crowd, still. I'll just take my laptop with me.
So, I mean, we said before the start, you know, Norwich have got a terrible away record, which is good. And I think, if we win the game, do you think it's going to be, if you were going to put a pound on it now, if we can beat them, do you think we'll stay up?
Yeah. I think if we win, we stay up. Obviously, we have to win. A draw isn't enough. Mathematically, we just can't do it unless Plymouth, I think they've got to concede about 10 goals or something. And
yeah.
That's not going to happen, you know. So we have to win. And we can win. And yet, if we do get those 3 points, I just can't see. Because I think, if memory serves me right, if we win, Blackburn, Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday all have to at least get a point, don't they?
Yeah.
Because our goal difference is better than all three of them. So
it's not better. It's not better than Plymouth, but if Plymouth draw...
If Plymouth draw,
we win, we've got more points than them.
Yeah.
So... yeah, and you know, as we've said, look, we stay up, I really don't care, but you've got to feel for Eustace. I mean, what a monumental kick in the nuts it'll be if they lose to Leicester and we win and they go down. Yeah. I mean, wow.
I know.
I wish he'd never, ever set foot in the place. But if he is a Villa fan, then, you know, karma's a bitch and all that. No, I'm out of order. I don't mean that. Those are my very sad.
Yeah, he let us win in his first game as the Blackburn manager, just to give us a little bit of false hope that he's going to be there for us and help us to survive. And then on the last day, he's going to stick the knife in, twist it right. These Blackburn are going to win 5-0. We're not even going to even be in consideration.
But I said again a few weeks ago, I felt that Plymouth would go. I still think they're struggling. I know they've got a decent home record, but they've been poor for the last 3 months.
And well, that Hull Ipswich draw has done us a massive favour.
Well, huge.
Because Hull can still... So I know I said about the Hull Norwich gold swing, but obviously Hull can still get in there if they... I don't know how their goal difference compares to West Brom, so I don't know if they have to win and West Brom lose, or if... Because I think they're 2 points behind West Brom, I think.
Yeah.
So I'd have to look at the table, but I think if they win and West Brom lose, they take their spot, and that's a given. I don't know how it works if West Brom draw, but what it does mean is that Hull have to go. I think, are they at home to Plymouth as well? Is that right?
No, Plymouth are at home.
Plymouth are at home. Well, yeah. Hull, either way, Hull have got to take the game to them, haven't they? Hull have got to score, and they've got players in the team that can score. So yeah. I'm fairly confident that they will do a job over Plymouth.
And you know,
we'll have to win though.
And Sheffield Wednesday, there's got to come a point where they have a bad game.
You would think so, but you've only got to look at their form. I think they're unbeaten in six. I think they've won 4 out of 6 or something daft.
Yeah.
They're just, like we said at the start, they have looked at what could happen if they go down, and they, by hook or by crook, have found a way to make sure they don't.
Yeah.
I think they can almost count themselves out of it, because they... it requires a disaster really for them, for all three of the teams below them to overtake them on the last day. I think that's highly unlikely. Not impossible, but I think it's unlikely. And I think they've got enough in the tank. And I can't even think who they're playing, but they're going to go into that game with so much. Is it Sunderland away?
Yeah, Sunderland.
Most teams are going to Sunderland away, coming back with results at the minute. So I think a team like Sheffield Wednesday, the confidence they've got, the whatever it is that they've put together that is being successful, they're just going to go there and carry that on, I think. I don't think they'll even be in the question. I'm with you, Blackburn or Plymouth. It's looking likely to be Plymouth, but that involves us still having to do our side of the job.
Absolutely. And
I'm completely torn. I haven't decided what I think is going to happen, if I'm honest. I've looked at it in so many different scenarios, and I come out with a different answer each time. I looked at it as in terms of every time we've had a game that we've needed to win, we haven't won. That's how I'm looking at it at the moment. I'm looking at Sheffield Wednesday away, great opportunity to win. We lose 2-0 and we don't even show up. We're just a shadow of the team that Mowbray had put together. That may be a bit of a one-off. Cardiff at home, didn't show up. We needed to win. I think even Middlesbrough at home a few weeks before, that was the game in hand, wasn't it? And that was our opportunity to create a bit of distance between us and the bottom three. One of the worst games I've seen us play. Didn't turn up, lost 1-0. Millwall away, they were rubbish. We were just as bad. Last-minute winner. We lose. All these games that we've had, that we've gone into it saying we need to win, we've lost. It's only the games that we've gone into Preston, where everybody's thinking, we're doing that bad at the moment. You know, how embarrassing is it going to be when UB 40 play after we've lost? And then guess what? There's no pressure on the players and we win. No one expects us to beat Coventry. Guess what? We turn up, we win. That's my concern, is that they have to win. There's no other scenario that keeps us up. They have to win. And every time we've had to do that so far, they've come up short. That being said, like I say, I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the home games that we have won. And a lot of the home games that we have won are games that you wouldn't expect us to win. Coventry at home, you wouldn't expect us to win. Leeds at home, wouldn't expect us to win. Even Ipswich draw, you wouldn't have expected that, especially in the Rooney era. You know, and that was, we were winning and we were comfortable. So we've got the ability, even in that situation, to do well against a stronger team. That's why I'm so indecisive, because I wouldn't be surprised either way, is what I'm trying to get at. But I can't see it. I don't know.
I think it's going to be a sellout. When we've sold out, we've won every home game. There's been five, I think, when we've sold out, albeit some of the games, you know, we weren't sort of back to that full capacity. But we've got a lot of things, I think, going for us. I think the fact that Norwich are done and dusted is huge. I cannot believe they're not going to rest players. I just can't. I just don't see it. You know, 1-0 for them is a great result. If we win, 1-0 for them is because, you know, they're not going to be that goal swing. So I and the other sides have got horrible games. I mean, given, you know, the Sunderland, Chef Wednesday, maybe not, but the other two are absolute horror stories to play. I mean, Leicester away, when they're going to be parading the trophy, a free-flowing Leicester is not what you want when you need something. Yeah. And Hull are a good side, and Plymouth aren't a good side. So it for me, if we win, I think we stay up, and on that basis, I think we will win. I can't see it being comfortable, because we never do anything comfortable. But I think maybe the odd goal in three might do it for us. Far from a foregone conclusion. And with the two games that we've just played, where we're like, you know, we just win one of those, win both of them, we'll be fine. It's just sod's law. It's this season of all seasons. If the other sides lose and we lose as well.
It'll be a draw or something, won't it? You know, it'll be goal difference that sends us down.
Yeah, it'd just be absolutely horrific. So now I'm going to go 2-1 Blues. Are you going to completely splinter your arse and not have a prediction?
Can I give you two? if I'm going with gut, because I'm such a negative Nelly, I've just got a feeling that I think we're going to come up short. I just think there's too much pressure. We've not coped with pressure in any of the recent games, and I just think we haven't got, like we've said, enough players in that team that can drag us through. Norwich are still, I think they're still going to be cautious. I don't think they're going to expect that they're in the playoffs because it's still possible, albeit unlikely. I think they're just going to do what they can, because the other thing to think about as well is that if you're Norwich and you finish sixth, you have to play Southampton in two games. Whereas if you don't, you might have a Leeds who have been a bit inconsistent, or Leeds are third. So if you finish sixth, you either get Leeds or Ipswich. I'm not saying that now, I'm saying it. You know what? Nonsense. Wouldn't want to play either of them, so it doesn't really matter, does it? Southampton or Leeds, you don't want either of them in two games, do you?
Yeah, those two teams that are going to miss out on the automatics, you wouldn't want to play either of them.
No.
So, yeah, I think it's... as I said, I think they'll be happy with a 1-0 loss and every player sort of, injury-free.
Yeah.
So before we wrap it up, I think a lot hinges for me on, every player. I think Pike could come up with a goal. I think he's been dead ball. It could be a wonder strike. It's typical Blues to do something in that sort of, when you least expect it, somebody pops up and slams one in from 30. If he starts, which I think he will, I think he's going to be a really, really strong presence in that game. I think he's got close to dominating games. I just hope this is the one that he does. So he'd be my one to watch. Have you got one that you would probably highlight that would be up for it and put in the performance that we need?
I think Stansfield, it seems like an easy one to say, but I just think even when the pressure's been on and the stakes have been high, as a team, we've not performed, but he still puts 100% in and, given the opportunity, will score. So I think he will be, if we are successful, I think he will be the reason why. I think it's going to finish 2-2. That's what my pessimistic head is saying. However, caveat, if we do end up winning, wouldn't it just be written in the stars that it's a Lukas Djukovic header, that he retires afterwards and wins the game 3-2 for us? Imagine, that would just be, if you could describe a season in one go, take over, new stadium, Djukovic sending us into the championship with a last-minute winner and getting one of the new stands named after him. Sir Lukas Djukovic. It's happening.
Well, yeah. I think there couldn't be a better way to end this pod. And let's keep that positive vibe. I think we've tried. It's been a disappointing couple of weeks, but we're still in there with a shout. I still think we've got it all to play for, and I'm going to stay positive. And I think that I'll sign up for that Djukovic header all day. And rather interesting Saturday if we manage to stay up and that happens. I don't know whether I'll be seeing Sunday. But anyway, Sam, thanks for your time. Really good insight there. Lots of really good stuff. And by the next time I see you all, we'll know exactly where we're at. Hopefully we're in the championship, and it's the last time we're going to do this again. Please let it be the last time. But whatever happens, enjoy the game. Let fingers crossed we get the right result. And thanks a lot for taking the time to watch and listen. As I said, share and make comments. And keep right on up the Blues.
Keep right on.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.